You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
The University of St. Thomas is a trio of big games this weekend on campus. The new-look men's basketball team opens their home schedule this Friday at 7 against Chicago State. The women's Hoopers play South Carolina State on Saturday night at 7. And the football team can clinch a share of the Pioneer League Championship at noon on Saturday against Stetson. Come out and support the Tommies. Tickets available now at TommySports.com. That's TommySports.com.
Oh, it's fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
All right, Patrick Royce, a day late. What's on the top of your mind today?
I guess I've been late. I've just seen hints of the Chains and Kirk. I haven't, but apparently it's a national phenomenon because I just saw Schefter on ESPN.
Yeah, here's an Instagram of both of them.
With his shirt off doing it.
That's Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
And then Schefter, yeah.
Okay, yep. So it's apparently caught quite the phenomenon. I was thinking, Kirk is almost a Star Tribune Sports Person of the Year candidate, don't you think? I mean, it's not always like who's the best. It's, right.
I wonder if it's O'Connell.
It's continues. A little early. It's a little early, isn't it? Don't we have to see if he's for real?
Oh, yeah. But I'm just saying if Kirk is going to be like, if there's Viking candidates for the success of this year.
Yeah. It could be O'Connell. It could be Jefferson because of more long service. But it's probably, but to me, he kind of fits the, you know, like Randall Cunningham won it, I think, the first year we ever
had it. I was on the panel.
Because it was his year. I mean, if you look back, you say Randall Cunningham, but,
God, he was good. Yeah.
What was he, runner-up for MVP or something? And somebody named him Player of the Year.
I think he was the Offensive Player of the Year in the NFL. He wasn't MVP, but he won the OP Award. Yeah.
And I think other sources that were unofficial named him Player of the Year.
Yeah, the Maxwell Club.
Mm-hmm.
Which at that time was, I think,
Sporting News
now.
Back then used to do that too, right?
So that's right. I forgot about the Sporting News.
For instance, the Sporting News back in the day when it was baseball's Bible, they had it right with the 65 American League. The Zoilo was voted the MVP, but Tony was the Sporting News Player of the Year, and they were right. Hmm. It should have been Tony. But we got all into I don't know how that happened. I know we always said, well, he played great against the Yankees, but everybody thought it was the New York influence, but they got two votes like everybody else. So it's
interesting.
I don't know what it was. I don't know why. He hit .269 that year or something.
But yes, Kirk is a changed man, and mm-hmm. we all love him now.
Yep. And that kind of fits the profile.
That's true.
But then again, it is 2022, so there might be somebody from the Lynx that we haven't given it to.
Or Gopher Basketball. You never know.
We only had five or six members of the Lynx so far, so maybe it's time for the Lynx. How about Andrea for the Aurora? Don't bet against her.
The Star Tribune covers that team.
Yes, plus she introduced a whole new thing to Minnesota, pre-professional.
Yep.
We used to call it amateur, but now it's pre-professional.
And now we're trying to get professional, right?
We've applied, but we want somebody.
That's a sneaky one, Pat.
Yeah. We want some woman.
Oh, I like it.
We want some woman to give us the money.
Okay.
You know, didn't you see the story?
I saw the story. You're going to be surprised I didn't read it.
Yeah, but it was, they're looking for a sugar mama. Not a sugar daddy.
Okay.
They would take it from a sugar daddy if they can't.
How much
find
do we need to do
sugar
this?
Mama? But the one league, whichever the big league is, I don't know. You have to have some owner who owns at least 30%. So they'd have to be somebody that's willing to put in. But it's only got to cost like $2 million for expansion franchise or something, and then I don't know what else you have.
But then we're not pre-professional at that point. We are.
No, we're professional. Yeah.
Legitimately
we're
professional.
We're trying to be professional.
That's a good sports person of the year candidate, though. I like that one. That's sneaky.
Yes, but one that has absolutely no impact. But that's
it's not the worry anymore.
That is not a concern anymore. Anyway, Kirk, no. I think Kirk will be mad. If you're going with a Viking, it's Kirk or Jefferson, right? If you're going with a player. It ain't Danny Hunter anymore.
No, I mean, yeah. A couple sacks, but not him. Mm-hmm. Nah, I think you're right. And I think, it might be. If it's a player, it might be Kirk.
Might be Kirk.
It would be if he would give you the access, it's a good story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, if he's not getting knowledge, he's changed. He's tried to downplay that so far.
Yes.
Because he doesn't want to say a bad thing about Zim.
Yeah. Like he doesn't want to say a bad thing about what he used to be either, does
yeah.
he?
I don't think he wants to say, I was scared to say the wrong thing, which he was.
Yes, yes. But, he was kind of a braggadocio kind of guy when he was at Michigan State, I know, wasn't he? Like a big personality at Michigan State, and then in Washington.
Washington definitely was more out there.
Well, he's been around so long. Didn't he lose a shootout to Adam Weber here in college?
Sounds right.
I think he
that
did.
Sounds right,
I think Adam, a hell of a game on a Saturday night.
Yep.
Coach Brew's second year when he was the one year that he was pretty good, and they had the place full. Might have been the first year, but it had to be the second year because the Gophers won, and the first year they only won once. I bet it was 08. And Mace, Adam Weber was, he was a freshman with Mace, right? So, and Mace got fired in 06. I bet it's 2008. October night, maybe 23rd of October.
2011, so it probably would have happened, Judd, I'm guessing, in the 09 or 10 season.
Maybe it was 09. I don't think
if it happened in 09, it was at TCF Bank Stadium.
Yeah, it was at TCF Bank Stadium.
So that's the first year TCF Bank Stadium.
Yeah, it was 09. Yeah, it was
2009 Halloween duel.
Halloween duel.
Between Cousins and Adam Weber.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, you are correct. Look at you.
Okay, 2009. I forgot that TCF Bank. Yeah, see, TCF Bank was, they were announcing mostly sellouts that first year in there, but this was an actual sellout. It was spooky in there. What was the score?
42-34.
Yeah, it was a hell of a game. It was a good game. And, one of Coach Brew's last great wins, I would have to say.
Yeah, there weren't many after that.
What happened to that? Look up 2009.
They were a 6-9 team that year, Pat.
6-9. They couldn't have played that many games.
Let's see here. Kirk was in that game 21-35. For 236 and two touchdowns.
Interceptions, I think.
Adam Weber, though.
Yes.
9 of 31. 416 yards.
9 of 31 cannot be true.
19 of 31.
31.
And then 5 touchdowns with 416 passing yards.
And then we had to change the offense, right?
Yep. Marquise Gray, I even got a couple snaps and a QB in that game.
So 09 wasn't the year that they started 7-1.
They beat Syracuse, Air Force, lost to California at home, beat Northwestern, lost to Wisconsin.
Okay, that was his third year.
They beat Purdue, they lost to Penn State. So, they weren't that great at that point.
Kirk might have been his last big win. What happened in November?
In November of that year?
That year.
On the fourth, let's see here. So that was
31st.
They lost to Illinois on the 7th of November.
Uh-huh.
They beat South Dakota State by 3, and then they lost at Iowa, and then they lost in the bowl game to Iowa State.
That was Brew's last
hurrah.
And after the Iowa game,
he got fired.
What was the name of that running back?
I don't remember.
The Iowa running back. Really good Iowa running back that ran for 200 and some yards against him. That's when he decided to change the offense before the bowl game, right?
Mm.
I think it was. I think that's what
And
he
Weber
changed
went it. Through how many offensive coordinators and changes here? 5?
Something. Well, he had Mace, and then, I think Brew changed every year. So I think he changed.
When was Jed Fish here? And Jed Fish had him throwing a baseball to simulate throwing a football.
But Brew's first offensive coordinator was the spread guy. He brought in some guy, the spread guru, and then he fired him, or he moved him aside, I believe, after they got crushed by Iowa. Mm. I can't remember what the running back was, but they absolutely murdered him, I believe, because that was – no, that might have been at the Metrodome. That might have been in 08. That might have been in 08 that the guy put up all those yards.
Mike Dunbar, yes.
Mike Dunbar.
The internet's the greatest thing ever.
We ran him
You can
off.
Find anything within seconds.
He was a guru. We ran him off. But 08, yes, 08, the Iowa Rampage was still in the Metrodome. They went from 7. They won their. They were 7-1.
They got drilled by Iowa.
Yeah. Illinois came in and lit them up.
In 08, here was the night of the debacle in the bathroom, right? We had a couple of folks that were new acquaintances.
We had Hawkeyes. Yeah, and I think we might have broke up a marriage that night.
I think so, since she went to go to the restroom and didn't come back.
Yes, right. Yeah, that I get confused with my Iowa blowouts then. But that wasn't like playing the modern-day Iowa. That was Ferentz's early year when he was good. And
yes,
they had some dynamic offense back then.
Yeah, they actually could score points, which
they don't have anymore. Yeah, it was 08 that, boy, were they after me that year. Because they were, you know, I'd been on him from the get-go, from his first press conference. They said, this guy's an idiot. You remember the whole Pasadena thing and all that stuff. And,
piece of turf, right?
Yeah, the whole thing. He just was a lunatic. And I was, and that they were 7-1, right, to start that season. And Northwestern, and remember they beat, Illinois had beat them bloody here. And then... Mace's deal was that Illinois had us for homecoming and disrespected us, having them for homecoming and disrespected us, and we went down there and beat them. Juice Williams and that, you know, crew. Mm-hmm. And they were playing Northwestern after that. And Northwestern was our homecoming, and I wrote a piece on how Northwestern, the last 14 of the last 15 years, they'd played the Gophers in either October, from September such and such to the end of October, had been our homecoming opponent. You know, basically I wrote, boy, if there's ever a team that should feel disrespected, it's Northwestern, because every time they come to Minnesota, they are the homecoming opponent.
Yep.
And, I mean, not 14. It was in a 15-year period, they were the homecoming team like 7 times, you know, because they only came here like 7 or 8 times.
Right.
And then Northwestern beat them. And in a goofy game, they made a play at the end and won the game or something. And, yeah, then the Gophers didn't win another one, right? They lost the rest of them, I think, in 08.
Yeah, that sounds right.
In 08. Yeah, but he was, I remember I was out at a high school football game and There was a former Gopher at that high school. He was just screaming at me, "You better, he's taking us to the Rose Bowl. You better."
Not so much.
Just be patient here. Just be patient.
Not so much. We're not going to, they're not going to the Rose Bowl.
Just be patient here. We'll see. We'll see how it turns out.
We will all die without them ever seeing a Rose Bowl.
But... you know, the biggest frauds of all are the Gopher holders. Because if you go back to 08, they all deny that they ever believed in him, right? You go back to 08, they better get him signed to an extension before he leaves here when he was 7-1.
The evidence is there, man.
Yes.
Gopher hole doesn't go away.
They've probably gone and killed it out, though, so you can't find it anymore. I don't know. But they, anyway. Yes, that...
So Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins. That game. Hell of a game. Mm-hmm. It was a great game. And a great shootout. And then basically, Brew decided to stop doing everything Adam Weber did well. And because I think he had at least one more year left with Brew.
Yeah, that poor kid. That poor kid was... That was quarterback abuse.
Yep, he was.
For how much they changed really things. Good. For how much they change things. Hey, where do you think, so we talked about this previously, but the Vikings. So you have these weird years, right, where everything just goes right for a while.
I'm trying to think of another one like this, though.
If Allen can't play for the Bills on Sunday, it'll be the fourth time in the past six games they've got a backup.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. And a couple of, I mean, Tua made a hell, that's a hellacious difference.
Yep.
What were the others?
Well, the Dalton one with Jameis is not that that big of a deal. That started it.
Jameis is better than Dalton, but you know, just about everybody is. But that is
Wentz and Heinicke on Sunday.
Yeah,
Wentz was out.
I'm not a Wentz guy, but you'd rather have him than Heinicke. So yeah, it is.
But I mean, it keeps getting these.
Yeah, it's just one of these, and they get New Orleans gets stuck playing them in London.
Yep.
Instead of at the Superdome. So you end up with 9 home games and 7 road games.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is just sitting there, man.
The conference is way, I think it's weaker than anybody thought possible.
Oh, yeah. The difference is of the 8 best teams in the NFL, how many are in the NFC? And if I put the Vikings in that category, Vikings and Eagles might be the only 2 in the.
I mean, maybe Dallas if they're for real. I don't know.
Yeah, Dallas looks so rotten in the opener, and then they're not bad, I guess.
Right.
What are they since then? They've only lost once since the opener, right? Mm-hmm, what are they, 6-2?
I believe so.
Yeah, they're pretty good defensively, and they have a good offensive line.
But nobody scares you from this conference.
You know what's amazing about Dallas? They're pretty good, and Zeke is useless.
Yep. Yeah. That's why you don't sign running backs, man.
No.
That's why you just don't sign running backs.
Especially if you've already beat them up.
Yeah.
Especially if, I mean, Zeke was carrying 300 times a year, right?
Which you should do.
Sure.
It's okay to do that.
Well, yeah, Derrick Henry is, God love Tennessee, he's a shadow of what he used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, he'd get through that first. You get through that first tier, nobody wanted to hit him. Now he doesn't get. I don't know how he did last night. They beat up the bad Saints, but they're, you know. I mean, no, that wasn't them. Titans. Who'd Titans beat Sunday?
Chiefs on Sunday night.
Okay. They didn't beat him. They got beat by.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. They were up by a bunch, and they got beat.
But Derrick is, 2.5 yards at carry or some damn things.
And those guys are all going to be using walkers by the time they're my age.
So what is with Beckham? What's he waiting for?
We
don't want him now that we got the tight end, right?
Well, I think what he's waiting for is this. He's not going to be ready to play until December.
I think he's supposed to be medically cleared by the end of the week. That's also, he's waiting to get medically cleared.
But, and he was, what they said, the Chiefs or the Bills? Well, now if Allen's got a bad
Dallas,
end,
supposedly now.
Wants him.
According to a report on Sunday, Dallas is in.
Oh, and Jerry.
And the Rams want him back still, but the Rams are going nowhere now.
No, God, they're, what the? I heard somebody said, is it just a coincidence that Kevin O'Connell is now the, and both franchises have turned around? They've turned on.
McVay.
The genius behind McVay was Kevin O'Connell. We thought it was the other way around, but now we know.
Now O'Connell is going to be the guy. If you had lunch with O'Connell, you got a job for 23.
Well, hey, Steve Wilkes. Wasn't he a guy we interviewed?
I don't remember.
Wasn't he the guy that O'Connell knew from the old days that was in here and talked to him? Oh, no, he didn't talk to O'Connell. He talked to the Viking. He talked to Kwesi. Didn't he talk to Kwesi?
He might have. I don't remember.
I thought so. Now he's the coach of the Carolina whatchamacallits, and he's firing everybody. So,
yeah, because they're absolutely pathetic. How about the Colts? Jeff Saturday coached high school football. He was on ESPN. The only thing I can think of is it's a genius tank because they're going to lose the rest of their games.
I thought Ursay was sober. I thought he was known for being sober, but he's
he is a weird guy.
Yeah,
I think his
not
past
as
years
weird as daddy.
No, but I think his past. I think Ursay's past involvement with fun have taken their toll on the brain cells now.
Yeah, it could be.
Because I've seen him before, and he's really
a party animal at one time.
Oh, he was a great partier.
But his old man, my favorite ever Sports Illustrated story, was 30 years. When did the Colts move to Indianapolis? 30 years ago?
84-ish.
Okay, 40 years ago.
Yep, 40.
And the story in Sports Illustrated about Robert Irsay quoting his mother as saying he was Satan.
Yes.
That was my.
Oh, the Irsays were great.
Yeah. But the parents hated him.
Yep. Well, the old man was.
That's what I mean, Robert.
Oh yeah,
yeah, Robert.
I mean, the kid's weird. The old man was a bad guy. Yeah,
he left Baltimore. So then they pulled back. Then you could get two semis and move a football.
Mayflower trucks.
Yeah,
in the middle of the night, he really did. He backed him up to the facility. They put on the weight equipment and all that.
Yeah, I mean, if you tried to move a football team now and take a caravan, you know.
And there'd be lawyers standing there in front of the Mayflower trucks to stop you. Mm-hmm. But what was the story, Pat? So, and this is where this league is. It's hilarious because it's a billion-dollar league now. But the story was that Irsay owned the Rams and Rosenblum owned the Colts, and they flipped franchises.
Yes,
they traded franchises, basically.
Yeah, Rosenblum wanted out of Baltimore. And they wanted the Rams, and they switched them. But Irsay, I don't think did Irsay already own the Rams? I don't think somebody else owned the Rams.
Okay, and so they
flip flopped them.
Okay, so they sold the team.
They flip flopped them. Rosenblum gave him some money, and then Rosenblum drowned. Swimming in the ocean.
Yeah, very mysterious.
What was the wife's name?
Was that Carol or was that?
No. What's the name?
Giorgio Frontieri.
Giorgio Frontieri.
He was.
My favorite bumper sticker ever. When she married the hairdresser, it was her ninth marriage, I think, eighth or ninth. And Carol was her sixth or seventh. And a bumper sticker in L.A. Honk if you've been married to Georgia. Did she win a? She got to the Super Bowl, right? That terrible offense.
Yeah, they played the Steelers.
That was one of the worst.
In Pasadena.
That was one of the worst teams ever. Ferragamo. In the Super Bowl. Yeah, Ferragamo was back when you didn't need a big time quarterback.
Who then was lured away by Montreal of the CFL.
Yeah, they wouldn't pay him.
They wouldn't pay him, but I mean, that's back when guys would jump to the CFL.
Yeah, that had to be like the last.
I think it was the last big one.
Well, look at the 50s. More Iowa Hawkeyes went to the Canadian League than went to the NFL because the NFL was so damn cheap. But when Iowa was, Abby discovered the joys of integration before we did here in the 50s.
Yep.
And Iowa started integrating, bringing in Willie Fleming and Bob Jeter and Calvin Jones. And we were... The old timers from Minnesota, what is this? You know, they're supposed to be playing Swedes just like us. Yeah, that was, used to be a joke about an airplane crash in Africa that killed three Iowa football scouts and, you know, a racist joke here in Minnesota. So,
right.
And a lot of those guys went and played in Canada. And so did the quarterback, Kenny Plain, who went to one of the Rose Bowls with him, and Bob Jeter went up there, and they came back and played for the Packers. Calvin Jones, the great lineman who Frank Gilliam's buddy in high school in Steubenville, died in a plane crash. But he was a great tackle. He was the Outland Trophy winner and everything, and he was flying back from... flying back from All-Star game in Vancouver and had crashed into them, but didn't clear the mountain. And outside of Vancouver, right? I mean, right? When it took off, it hit the mountain. And Calvin and... He was the rest of the football players, the rest of the guys on the Winnipeg team flew out...
Oh, that was the Bud story.
Earlier.
That's right.
And Calvin decided to sleep in. And then come out later or go out earlier. I'm not sure later or earlier, but he was.
That's right, because Bud could have been on that plane.
Yes, Bud could have been on that plane. But, yeah, a lot of the Iowa guys there. And I've told you this, too. It was an Iowa football player that taught 9-year-old Patrick Racy the joys of the MF phrase. You know?
That's right.
As I kneeled in the end zone. And Earl Smith, found out they'd called a clipping penalty down at the other end of Memorial Stadium and dropped it right on top of my 9-year-old head.
You're like, that's a great turn of a phrase.
Yes, it is.
Thank you very much.
I knew the back part of it. You know, I hadn't heard it in its full flower previously. Man. You know, so.
It's a magical, magical turn it adds so much to the back
part. It does. It absolutely does. Just, I mean, because
the inflection.
Everybody drops a, you know.
Right. It's not nearly as satisfying.
I wonder when Boudreaux heard it for the first time and you like, oh.
Hockey guys, he probably heard it when he was a baby.
It'll be great for me.
That's right.
I bet his mom or dad dropped him.
Favorite TV series of all time is still the run up to the Rangers Flyers New Year's game on HBO with Torts and Lavalette. I had never heard such language in my life, even when I was speaking it. It was unbelievable.
They should bring it back.
And those guys, are they both coaching in the league now?
Yeah.
They both got a job?
Yeah, because the Torts is in Philadelphia.
Yep.
Torts is
working
back for
Chuck.
Oh, that's right.
And the Canucks, well, the Canucks are going to fire Bruce at some point soon, but he's still the Canucks coach.
But, no, but not Bruce wasn't the other coach, though. Lavalette.
Washington.
Yeah.
He's coaching Washington.
He's coaching Washington.
They're in the same division. Swearing at each other.
The greatest thing is hockey people.
They don't ever lose. You can be the biggest jackass ever and you keep getting jobs.
Hockey people are the greatest swearers of all time, though.
Did you ever hear anybody say anything good about Torts? I mean, has any player ever said, I really like Torts?
No, because if you do, you eventually turn because he becomes, you know what he is? He's today's Mike Keenan.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Who is certifiably crazy.
Oh, yeah. But they'd keep bringing them in because it's still the last of the sports where you got to whip them into shape, isn't it?
And you'll win for a while.
Yeah.
The only question is, when does that stop? Because the second it stops, you got to fire them.
Sonmar, Jacques DeBeers, got a 4-year contract and a 2-year act. He said about Jacques was the French version of the hard nosed guy.
He got the Blues to win, he got Montreal to win. I think he went to Detroit then, and he didn't win.
It is amazing, to some degree, as successful as the NHL has become in these new markets. They've done a much better job in the NBA with the markets and stuff. It's still very old-fashioned in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's got,
I mean, it's gotten a lot better, and you don't have Harold Sneps playing defense. The biggest change is you don't have the slow-footed guy playing defense.
The game on the ice has changed drastically. Yeah. Unfortunately, the game off the ice, this whole debacle with the Bruins, who signed this kid, who had, abused a classmate for years and years and years, and the Coyotes drafted him and released the draft pick, and the Bruins just said,
That was a long time ago.
We'll sign him. And of course, everyone's like, what are you talking about? They didn't clear it with the league. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. And so yesterday they said, okay, screw it. We're done too.
But he was, the kid was mentally deficient, right? That he picked on.
He was a black kid but I mean, and the stuff that this kid and his buddies did was like brutal.
So how did that come out? When they got drafted, mom reported him or something?
Yeah,
what was that?
When the Coyotes got drafted, I think it was The Athletic. I think it might have been Katie Stang, who does really good work, and she doesn't care. Yeah. So she's not like beholden the teams.
Yeah.
She talked to mom, and mom, basically gave her chapter and verse.
Did she see something that had been written about this?
No, this had been out. No, it was known and it was out, and teams just hoped it disappeared. So it was known by people in the community.
Oh, really?
So like the teams knew this.
Yeah.
It was no mistake. But the hockey thing is, hold your breath and hope.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like the baseball pitcher with the Oregon State.
Yes.
When it was a cousin or something, it's a young kid he supposedly fiddled with when he was 6 or 8 or something, and that, he was pitching in the Mexican League last year. I looked him up. He's never going to get a chance.
But teams hope teams hope the public doesn't care or finds out.
You know how that came about? I think the Portland Oregonian was doing a feature on him, And they apparently, the Oregonian has a deal where you just test you. Anybody you write a feature on, you check the police records. You just check.
That's actually smart.
You just check the public records. And this thing was not supposed to be in the records because it was like, and the kid, but juvenile. It popped up.
Really?
It popped up, and the guy from the Oregonian who was going to write a feature, ain't he a nice kid, and blah, 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 had to show it to his editors, and they had to write the story, you know. And
that's interesting. And a juvenile record popping up is really surprising.
Yeah, it was a family situation, so I think it was like two sisters. His mom was a sister, and,
okay.
And they hated each other, so it was not a good situation there. So, what I did a little tirade on this morning with you guys, but it's worth repeating. What is the logic? St. Thomas, the proud basketball and football and hockey team that we are having right here on the AM 1500 airwaves, right? We're doing
yes,
all three sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what a year we're having.
Mm-hmm.
The football team headed for the Pioneer Football League championship, unbeaten in the league, and the hockey team more competitive, losing to Mankato, 4-3, something like that.
Yep.
They're not getting blown out.
They've tightened it up.
And the basketball team opens with Creighton, who's yeah. rated number 9 last night and was ahead of them with like 5 minutes to go.
Fox Sports 1 showed it, right?
Ended up, was it on?
I guess it was on, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That was on. We are
Dave
on.
Campbell. Dave We're, Campbell told me that that game, because it was Creighton, was on.
Oh, so I did not know that. Otherwise, I would have watched. But I was looking for the Gophers who were on Big 10 12 or something that you got to pay for, right? Big 10 Plus.
Yes.
That means you can't watch it.
Right.
That's what Big 10 Plus
right.
means. The hell with you, right? That's what that means. You know, remember those awful old yes. days before the great Big 10 Network? When you'd have Dutch and somebody else and Dick Bremer over there,
yeah.
and you could watch the damn games.
Yes.
You know, but we don't
Raycom.
Have that now.
Raycom.
Yeah, we don't have
the syndication.
That. We don't have to worry about that anymore. But this, you got Western Michigan in here. And then you got, if you look at the schedule, I got like five complete mutts, right? Coming in here that you're paying, but you got to pay these teams like $70,000-$80,000 to come here.
So
right?
for basketball,
for basketball.
Jeez,
you know, I'm not sure, but Western Michigan might be less than that. But I think some of them they got to, you know, they're getting a decent check, and you got these guys right next door, and you could draw 12,000. Last night they couldn't add 5,000 in there. They said 7, so that you.
I saw some pictures.
Yeah, probably 5. Max.
Yeah. Yeah, Max. Yes, you're right, Max.
I said, a friend of mine, a gal I know who's got a new boyfriend who's a big Gopher basketball fan, she said, do you have a connection to get tickets? I said, yeah, StubHub for about $4.
Yeah, connection to get tickets to go
for basketball. The connection is they might pay for your parking.
Yeah, don't pay too much.
Yeah.
Don't pay face.
Don't pay over $8. Well, faces, that's one reason the Gopher hockey's not drawn. They're trying to charge $60. Why wouldn't you play them?
I don't know.
I mean, it makes
That'd be
no
fun.
Sense. You give them $10,000, $5,000, they'd take the bus over here and you have 12,000 people.
They'd be thrilled.
Every Tommy in town will come in.
Yes, absolutely.
And if you lose.
You stink
you lose,
anyway.
You're not
What's
be
the
good?
Pride?
Yeah.
That's the question.
What?
What's the pride? Like, if you lose, no one's going to be shocked.
No.
It's not like the old days.
They're going to say, I'm never going to go to a Gopher game again because they lost to St. Thomas.
Right.
St. Thomas, by the way, if they're going to become St. Thomas fans, that gym they have holds 1,200 people. They're not going to. One of the unreported stories in this town, that hasn't been pounded on, is the last 25 years ago for basketball, right? Since Clem took them to the Final Four.
Yep.
We always talk about Gopher hockey attendance.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, we never talk about how rotten Gopher basketball attendance is. It's brutal. you know? And their non-conference games, it's non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, we dwell on Gopher hockey having 6,000 instead of Gopher basketball having 6,000. So, you know, it's strange. But Gopher basketball, I'm going to have to do some stats on this. But the last 25 years, they've had to be in the second division 18 out of those 25 years, I would think, no matter how many
teams. Yeah, well, I mean, tournament appearances.
How often do they... Yeah, well, how often? They've only been 500, like...
Tubby made a tournament appearance. Yeah. Patino made
and
one.
I don't think Tubby, the year he made it, was... I guess they were 500. They were 9-9.
Yep.
But, Clem made it 99. Okay, that was his last one.
Yep.
Monson made one, right, with Vincent Greer,
mm-hmm.
who was great that year. Patino made two, right?
I think he did make two, yeah.
Did Tubby make just the one where he won the game?
Yep.
But they've won two games in the NCAA tournament the last 25 years, I think. Clem didn't win a game the year the scandal popped in 99.
No, they were.
No, 98 he might have won a game. 98 he might have won a game. 99
But the year the scandal popped, you're right, they didn't win.
Lost to Gonzaga, gave him a pretty good game. And that was the Gonzaga team that got to beat, got to the Western Regional Final. And that's how we got Dan Munson, because mm-hmm. he beat Clem there.
Black Friday is right there around the corner. People waking up early to fight large crowds to shop. To save $20 or $40 or maybe even $100, that's the reason? Here's another way you could spend your Black Friday. Sleep in. Visit thecanopygroup.com, request a quote on your home and auto insurance, and you avoid the long lines, you avoid the tug-of-war for merchandise. All you get out of it is better insurance coverage that'll save you an average of $800 annually. Then take your $800 savings and have your own Black Friday, maybe next Wednesday. This savings will continue each and every year as the Canopy Group's 40 professionals shop your coverage with their 16 companies, saving you money year in and year out. Just think of the great gifts you can buy with $800. Go to thecanopygroup.com or call 800-967-3389 and get the best coverage for the best price in the comfort of your own home.
Yeah, I mean, it's been awful. You can make a case it's been worse, as bad as football, maybe worse, probably worse than football.
Well, and to me, it's more disappointing
mm-hmm.
because there is the potential there. And if anything, we now as a state produce more basketball talent than we ever have before.
Well, that's what I said about Patino. Patino failed during an era where there were more, where you didn't have to get all your players from out of state Minnesota. You know, if you got a few from in here, you could get two a year from here who were really good.
Yeah.
I mean, and you didn't have to get the number three national recruit, but if you got the second tier ones. Now, I looked at their box score last night. Where the hell is everybody? We had four freshmen coming in.
A lot of guys sitting out, Pat.
We had four freshmen coming in. Carrington's not playing. I know he's hurt. But then two other guys got it. They've got like four guys. Battle's not playing. But they got three or four other guys who hurt too. Will Ramberg, who was playing, he's McGill Grand Marais, McGill University. I did a column on him last year because he played like 15 minutes in a game they almost won. And then the rest of the year he didn't play at all. He started last night. He started. They're so hard up for players. They got a chance. You know, if Battle comes back and Carrington, I think, what did they win for? They finished last year, 4-16. Was it 4-16?
I can find that.
I think 4-16.
Right. It's not okay.
They got a fighting chance to be 4-16 again with Garcia. I mean.
So since 2000, NCAA tournament appearances, first round appearance in 05. Then they made it back in 09 and 10, back-to-back years, first-round appearances. They got to the third round with Tubby in 13, and then he got fired, and Patino made two appearances, a first-round ouster, and then the year in Des Moines they beat.
They didn't make it 9 and 10. That had to be NIT.
NCAA 2008-9, they went 22-11, 9-9 in the conference.
That was
NCAA
who?
First round.
Oh, that was who? Patino? No. Munson
was Munson resigned midseason in and was fired in 06-07.
Okay. All right. So Patino's.
But according to the Wikipedia
Patino
year
made
by
it
year.
Twice there then? Okay. Patino made it three.
No,
times.
Tubby did.
Tubby did.
That's Tubby. So Tubby won first round. 2 years consecutively.
Okay.
And then
later he won a game.
Right before he got fired, he won a game.
Okay.
Yes.
So Tubby made it 3 out of 4 years.
And Patino made it twice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they won one game in that time.
And Patino won
Louisville. They beat them and lost to Michigan State in 19.
Yes.
But it's still a remarkable.
They've won two NCAA games in 25 years.
Yep. Yes.
How about 98-9? They win a game. Did they win a game in
98? 98.
NIT champions. That's right.
And then in 99, they made it first round loss, like you said, to Gonzaga.
They took the 98 one away from us, though, right? The NIT vacated.
Academic fraud erased everything from the 93-94 season through the 98.
Well, we did win the NIT in 92, maybe? Was it 92?
93.
It was
93, which I think is the year they played at Met Center, right?
It was a big enough deal. Then I went out there. They beat Georgetown. They beat
Errol McDonald.
Clem beat right? Big John in the championship game. But you're right, Clem. That was when Brackett and Clem were debating when about his road record, and Clem said we won 3 road games to go to the NIT last year. Dennis says 2 of them were Target Center and 1 was at Met Center. Clem, and he says road games are.
That's great, Clem.
That was where they worked Williams Arena. They were road games.
Oh,
man.
My God. That's so great.
God, he was funny.
Oh, he was fantastic.
Yeah, he was great. He was great.
A hell of a coach, too.
Well, he made you defense. He made you play defense and rebound. You know, he took Willie Burton, who just wanted to shoot.
Yep.
And he basically, you know, turned him into a rebounder and a defender. And when Willie was really screwing off after his freshman year, he got him down at the farm, baling hay in the middle of the summer. Oh. It was 95 degrees. Oh. And he'd get him down there and just work his rear end off. And Willie, if you don't shape up, you're coming back here again next year and do this. He got away with murder with that kind of stuff, you know.
Yes.
But
now you can't even come close to that.
Oh, no, God. They all appreciated him, though, because he, you know.
He could coach.
He coached, and he loved him, too. I mean, he was always, he was the strict, loving father, you know, of the black kids who grew up in the city, you know. I always said, Jerry Holt and I went down to a big blowout before the, went to the Final Four and went down to Campbellsville, and his the original home that he grew up in was still there. They had indoor plumbing then, but they didn't have it when he was a kid. But Mom still had the wood stove, Lucy. And you saw where Clem grew up, and you said, all right, this is quite a rise right here.
Yep.
'Cause it, you know, and his mom was a nice, dad was long dead, but his mom was a nice old gal. And I always remember she was on this griddle, she was making fried pies.
Oh,
on cooked in lard, but not the perfectly formed, fried pies you're used to. Just a little dough on the bottom and an apple or cherry in the middle. And she said, we were getting ready to leave, and she said, "Would you guys like a fried pie?" And I said, "No, not really." And Jerry says, "Oh, yeah, I think we should."
Yep. Jerry knows his stuff.
And we both ate about 3 of them.
Yep.
They were out of this world. She just kept making fried pies, man. So, anyway, I loved Clem. And now it got off to a rocky start, but I love Clem. You know.
Yeah.
And I, as you say, put up the banners. Tell the NCAA to go to hell, right?
It's the most incredible thing that we still sweat.
Yeah,
or recognize
we
the admonishment.
We still go through the record.
Yeah.
You don't. You can publish the results and say, you know, with a little note on the top that you know you can go on in online and get every one of the games. Why the hell can't you put them in your publications?
The fact
that they don't have publications anymore, so you don't have to worry.
But the fact that North Carolina got away with what they did when said, "Yeah, our guys cheated, but the rest of the people in the class cheated too."
That's true.
That's where I just said, "Okay, that's so incredibly stupid."
It is. What else? Miguel Sano. See you, Miguel. Boy,
sort of just went by too. You know, I mean, I know it's a story, but like compared to the angst.
Oh yeah,
it sort of just passed by that they didn't pick up that option.
Well, we knew it, but it's an amazing.
Yes.
You know, because 2 years ago, the numbers at the end weren't bad. And the year that they hit all the home runs, he joined the party sort of later on that year. But it really, you see him and you just don't think. I mean, you watch the World Series, you watch the playoffs. And this endless supply of guys throwing between 98 and 102 and up here.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody always talks about him with the breaking ball. You know, hey, chasing the breaking ball. Well, he's chasing the breaking ball after they get ahead of him because he can't get to the fastball anymore. He hasn't been able to get to the fastball above his, you know, higher than his belly, halfway up his belly, you know.
Yep.
That fast, he hasn't been able to get to that fastball forever. Then he gets behind in the count and then he chases the breaking ball. But, the pitching's too damn good for his swing. He doesn't have he's never discovered right field. You know, what's all out there? Aaron Judge, you know, he should call up Aaron Judge and say, "Can I come and spend a month with you?"
Yeah.
You know, learn how to hit the ball over there that way.
In that ballpark?
Yeah. He just never could change his swing plane. And his swing is just too damn long for modern pitching, I think. You know, Poppy had a big finish, but he was quick to the ball.
Right.
You know, he didn't wind up and swing from here.
Right.
Miguel holds a bat up here and it takes him a long time to, you know, it just, you can't handle modern pitching that way. And, you know, I wouldn't. He wasn't a bad guy. He didn't, he apparently recalled some of the stuff that I wrote about him the last couple of years, though, because when I went over to St. Paul to watch him watch his comeback, where he looked pretty good, hit the ball good that night. He declined to be interviewed by me.
Through PR, or did you go up to him and he said no?
I said, Miguel, and he walked by, and then I sent the PR guy into the clubhouse, and they said no. And he said, Sean, who's a friend of mine, said, he said no emphatically with a few adjectives, so, you know. But, it'd be nice if he could have a career again, because I don't know what he's going to, you know, what if he doesn't have baseball, what's going to happen to him? Because he's not, you know, he's got a fifth grade education in the Dominican or something. So,
in their own ways, the busts of Sano and Buxton, because he can't play, is one of the biggest, the biggest things that will come back to haunt this team.
Yep. It's almost... It's you know, we can talk about David McCarty and guys like that, but this is historic in the sense that they were going to be a different form of Rice and Lynn.
Yep.
You know, they were going to be like they were going to be your focal points of your friend. And frankly, I always had more doubts about Buxton as a hitter than I did Sano, because he, you know, had a longer swing and, you know, and he had some ungodly awful years. But yeah, Sano and Buxton, we go back and look at the stuff we wrote about him 8 years ago and what you have now. I mean, they are absolutely, I hate to use the word, I'd like to think of a better one, but screwed with
what I was thinking of
with Buxton. I mean, what are you going to, because there's no...
Nothing you can do about it.
There is no longer any thought that he's going to be a full-time player.
Correct.
I mean, because that knee is chronic. There's, you know, they might have had some minor surgery to, but all you're doing is draining. It's tendonitis. You cannot cut out. You cannot cut out tendonitis. I don't think.
Right.
But
and once you say chronic, there's no real going back on that.
No. No, they have. Have they used the word yet? But they don't want to use the word.
No, I thought they used it. I thought Rocco said chronic at some point.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So when they finally fessed up a bit.
So then do you start next season saying he's my DH? Well, who wants him as your DH?
Right.
If he can't play out there.
And now you've got to have a guy that can play center field consistently.
Yeah, and it ain't Gilberto Celestino.
No, right, exactly. But, I mean, yeah, it can't be the Jake Cave, now we'll try Celestino, now we'll try. You actually have to go get a center fielder who can at least be representative and play a lot.
Maybe Kiermaier.
You know what's sad?
He's really good defense in the field.
Anything that Buxton gives you at this point is going to be a bonus.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's the nucleus next year? Who's the nucleus?
I've no idea.
Blanco was banged up.
Yep.
They don't have a nucleus.
No, they don't.
Sano's gone. Buxton's gone. Correa's gone. They don't have a nucleus.
No, they don't have a nucleus.
Kepler's.
No.
They're going to try to trade him.
Yeah.
And they're not going to get anything. I mean,
no. That's why Buxton and Sano are supposed to be your nucleus.
We have not paid enough attention to the fact this is a complete rebuild.
Yes.
You know?
Well, and everything's gone off the tracks because of everything that you were pointing to a couple years or 3 years back is now been.
And now you got doubt. I mean, we got Kirilov, who was going to be a.
They shaved a bone out of his arm.
Yeah, they got to shorten his.
I mean, there's no guarantee that's going to work.
No. I mean,
we're talking about going into your arm and taking and shaving the bone down.
It is. It's got 68 and 94 written all over it.
And then the question is, do you trust these guys to have the plan to do what you're talking about, which is to reset things?
Yeah, they don't want to. Last year was not wanting to rebuild, but now they got to.
Right.
You know, and I don't know what they have. I mean, the pitching should be better. Yeah, who knows? Who knows? But it's, a lot of people, I mean, I've seen people write that it should be better next year. How? You don't have a catcher.
Yeah, keep going.
You get Louis Rise, Gold Glove candidate at first.
Yeah.
Who's the second, you know, he's your best player probably, but not as a first baseman. If Polanco comes back and can play second, you don't have a shortstop. I like Ursula, but they might not even. There's rumors that.
Well, and he's not nucleus.
No, he's not
nucleus.
I mean,
he's
not nucleus. And you don't have a single outfielder.
Yeah.
You don't have one. Do you?
And I've seen. I've seen speculation that they might start spring training with Polanco back at short.
Yeah, they can't do that. Not especially with a bad knee.
Yeah. I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying. And this thought process that the pitching, okay, on paper. The pitching should be improved.
Yeah.
But let's go through them. Maeda's coming off Tommy John.
And he's older.
Paddock has had Tommy John twice now.
He's not pitching until
exactly.
The end of the year.
And the math on that is not great.
No.
Like, there's no guarantee he comes back and is absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm.
They exercise the option on Sonny Gray, so you have him.
Ober's been hurt 2 years in a row.
Yep. And they haven't found pitching. For the most part.
No, bullpen is not overwhelming, so we got Duran. And yeah, good luck, fellas.
Yeah.
Good luck, fellas.
They're going to have to sign veteran free agents.
They're going to have to use the Ricey plan to get interest. Cheaper beer.
Yep, cheaper beer.
That's the only solution. That's the only solution.
I love that solution.
I just hope Kirk keeps his pants on. If they win another one.
You know what?
We don't want him to be down to his shorts, do we?
Mr. Cousins will not allow his son.
We don't want him to be down to his boxers.
No.
Look like a Chippendale. He's a Chippendale now.
He's a Christian-fearing man. He's not going to take his pants off.
First Christian Chippendale.
The first. He's got a six-pack abs. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, he does. He's well-built. He is. He's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Better than Schefter's.
Yeah, I'm not taking my shirt off.
No.
I knew he was thin. That's obvious. I did not realize that his abs would be visible. That'll never happen
anyway,
to me. Don't have to worry about that.
We didn't talk about the boxing. I guess we won't. We'll see how this guy comes
out. How's the guy doing? What the hell happened?
Oh, he's
bleeding brain.
No, but I mean, did he, he get pummeled the whole fight?
The crap beat out of him. There was a, for the first three rounds, they broke his nose in the second. And then about, about three rounds, maybe five, six and seven, he was competitive, hit him with a few body shots. It was almost like Morrell was backing off a little, kind of saving him. Then from eight on, they should have stopped it after, they could have stopped it after eight. They should have stopped it after 10 when he basically wasn't fighting back. And, but they didn't stop it. The ref, Tony Weeks, who's a world famous ref, who's big bouts and is known to be fairly cautious. I don't know why the hell he didn't finish it. And he had to, he had a bunch of other Kazakhs in the, or friends of the Kazakhs in the corner. And somebody told me this secondhand that they, that if we would have thrown in the towel, they would have, he would have never forgiven us. I mean, we might be alive.
Yeah,
he
exactly.
Might have a functioning. You know, after the 10th round, there was
so no. So was he knocked out in the fight?
At the end. But he fought two more rounds after the 10th when he was just beaten. And the Showtime guys were talking about how he didn't fight back. He wasn't fighting back anymore, but they never said stop it. You know, they weren't screaming. Everybody was so impressed with the morale display that they, we didn't really, you know, that this this guy was just getting battered. And at the end, they knocked him down at the start of the second last round, and that should have been it. Tony Weeks didn't stop it for some reason. And then 30 seconds to go, he hit him with a right hook and basically lifted him up and banged him down. And then as he's semi-celebrating, he looks over and sees him laying there. And Morrell went over and helped pick him up, and they kind of leaned him against the ropes, and you could see in the background he's waving at the ropes, and they call an ambulance and take him over to HCMC, and he's, it's an induced coma, you know, because they wanted to, they had to perform surgery.
Right.
But
that's brutal.
I heard yesterday that he hadn't gotten any better, so yeah, you know, he might not make it. I don't know.
That's
anyway.
All righty. See you. You have heard me discuss my relationship with Josh Arnold for some time. The reason I advocate that you give Josh a call is simple. Trust and results. Josh has seen it all when it comes to economic and market conditions. As has been said, through all of our relationship, past results do not guarantee future returns. And while that is true, Josh can make sure that your retirement objectives match your investments. You can understand that Josh will make sure you are not paying more in fees than you are seeing in returns. Yes, that is more common than you would like to think. Do yourself a favor and have a booking with Josh for the 48-minute free evaluation. This is a no-obligation meeting. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. You will be glad that you did.
Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a security investment advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice.
Patrick Royce is a paid endorser.
This is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard. When Tyreek Hill signed with the Miami Dolphins, we all thought, what the hell is he doing? What made many scratch their heads even further was comments praising Tua's accuracy. In fact, people got tired of listening to Tyreek Hill. They would go as far as to just tell him to just shut up and focus on football. Well, the Miami Dolphins are 7-3. Tua Tagovailoa is near 2,000 yards, 15 touchdowns with 3 interceptions. Not to mention the Dolphins now sit at the top of the AFC East. Well, they can hear you now, Tyreek. Hi, this is Chris Howard, host of Plugged In with Chris Howard. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From football to basketball to soccer and esports, we've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, you can find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. And don't forget, BetOnline for NHL, MMA, boxing, and golf exists at BetOnline.net as well. Head to the website today or use a mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.